God's great prophets, Prophet Ezekiel. Today I'm going to talk about the quest for power. The quest for power. Seems like a lot of people want power today, don't they? Especially up around state houses and federal houses. People want high positions of authority, power. The quest for power began in heaven. Did you know that? When Lucifer, the most beautiful and powerful of the angels, led a rebellion that sought to dethrone God. Think about that now. But both Isaiah and Ezekiel talk about that event. Isaiah in chapter 14. Ezekiel in chapter 28, where we're going to read this passage right now. Beginning down in verse 14 of Ezekiel 28, we're going to read a few passages here. Follow along. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Lucifer was a created being just like you and me. Till iniquity was found in thee. He was perfect till he sinned. By the multitudes of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He was such a beautiful creature. He got proud and arrogant and rebellious. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. May God bless his word that tells us where the devil come from, folks. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Loving God, our Father, on this beautiful Lord's Day, we thank you for this opportunity. We ask you to bless your word to our hearts today. Help us to have a greater understanding of this beautiful creature that rebelled against God because he was not satisfied to be where he was placed. He wanted more power and attempted to dethrone God. What a mistake. And Lord, now he's the source of the troubles of this world. But Lord, you have promised one day to cast him into the lake of fire along with his demons and all men that reject the love of God in Jesus Christ. Bless your word to our hearts. Help me, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yeah, he wasn't satisfied with what God had given to him, where God had placed him. He wanted to be more powerful. He wanted to be God. He wanted to take over. He wanted to be the ruler. He wasn't satisfied. You know, men can get in that same situation today. They want to be having more power, more authority. You know, it could be to their own destruction. After failing in his effort, Lucifer was cast out of heaven with all the demons, and they came down to this world. My, he's known as Satan today, the adversary, or the devil, our accuser. Those are the two most used names about the devil today, Satan and the devil. He was thrown to the earth, where he appears to use a serpent there in the Garden of Eden, whereby he would talk to Eve, tell her a lie of that God was holding out on her and Adam, and she believed it and went and told Adam, so he too would eat forbidden fruit, which brought about the mess we are all in today. For we are the children of a sinner, Adam and Eve. That's how sinners came into the world. Adam and Eve were their children, sinners. He was thrown down to the earth, where he appeared in the form of a subtle serpent, cast out of heaven, but he still has incredible power. And he probably, if you would see him, would be a beautiful creature. He probably wouldn't look like some of the pictures people make of the devil. He probably still retains his beauty. We cannot compete with him because he's wiser than man. He's a very intelligent creature, folks. Adam and Eve were extremely intelligent themselves, more so than us today, because no sin had affected them. But old Lucifer, the devil, came along and deceived Eve, and Adam then chose to disobey God and ate forbidden fruit. Since Satan could not overthrow God, his next attempt was to overthrow Adam, the man God placed in charge of the earth. Think about this now. He couldn't overthrow God. So now Adam, who's over the earth, he decided, well, I'm going to overthrow Adam, and I'm going to take over. I'm going to be the ruler of this world. And so to spite God, that's what he did. To spite God, he couldn't defeat God, but he could spite God. And notice, God allowed it. These things I don't understand, but God allows things sometimes. Just like this COVID we're coping with. It's not just here. It's all over the world. But God's allowing it for some reason to accomplish his purpose. It just might be the last chance man has to repent before the rapture takes place. I don't know that, but it could be. Since he could not defeat God, he's going to spite God, or spite God, who was now the ruler of the world, because, you know, God tested the angels when he allowed Lucifer and his demons to come against God, and God found out which angels would be trustworthy. So he got rid of those that would not be faithful. And now God is going to use Satan to test me and you. Think about that one. The reason God didn't get rid of the devil altogether, throw him in the lake of fire then, God's going to use him to test me and you. See if we all obey God. Well, we all flunked. Amen. Because we are children of Adam and Eve. We're sinners, and we are easily deceived ourselves, folks. Satan knew that God had told Adam not to eat from the tree of knowledge in the midst of the garden, or he would die. He also knew that Adam would obey God. Adam would not disobey God. But he could. Satan was hoping that he could tempt the wife. And that's what he did, to get to Adam. And Satan still uses that today. Satan used somebody else to get to you. Boy, ain't he a crude feller? He's subtle. He's smart. He knows just how to get at us. And if we don't stay on our toes, and even when we come to church faithfully and try to do right, sometimes we can still mess up, can't we? We should still mess up. So Lucifer saw Eve one day out by herself. I guess Adam was watching the ball game or something, NASCAR. But he caught her by herself and he made his play. Satan knows just when to make his play with us to catch us off guard. We better be careful, because he's waiting for the right moment at the right place to take advantage of us. In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Somehow Satan was allowed to use the serpent. I don't understand that for the life of me. And I've read so many commentaries on this subject, and nobody else has the answer. Why would the serpent let the devil use him? But he did. Why would God let the devil use the serpent? I don't know. But he did. It goes back to this thing. God sometimes does things we don't understand, folks. But he let the devil use the serpent to deceive the woman. And he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now, how does she know that? Because God told Adam. Apparently Adam told her, right? And the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." And he says that to you. He said it to me. He says you can get by doing this. You can get by going there. And we have done it, every one of us. He lies to us. We don't get by. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, and he sees what we do. Amen? "For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil," was his promise to Eve. Boy, she bit for that. Boy, I'm going to be as gods, knowing good and evil. And she made a bad mistake. She ate, then she took it to Adam. Eve knew she should not eat of the tree of knowledge, for Adam had warned her. But she kept listening to the serpent, and she finally believed his lie. He persuaded her. This is what Satan does to all of us. He keeps telling us it's all right to do this. It's all right to do that. Everybody else is doing it. Amen? And God wants you to be happy. Amen? So Eve ate the forbidden fruit, but worse still, she took to her husband, and he ate also. Somehow she persuaded him. I think she was such a pretty thing, he didn't want to lose her. I don't know that. The result was they both died right then spiritually. They become separated from God, and death entered into their physical body, and in time, they both physically died. And that's how death came into the world. Now we have a new ruler. Adam is now no longer the ruler of the world. Satan's now the ruler. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, in time, God would send forth his Son to destroy the works that the devil had brought about in this old world when Adam succumbed to Satan. This is why God sent us a Savior, folks. Isn't God good? God's so good to us, folks. He's so good to us. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. He was cast down from heaven to the earth. And his angels or demons were cast out with him. Folks, I bet we would be scared if we could see into the spirit world and see all the demons that surround. Probably in here with us today. Now Satan and his demons are roaming about round, seeking who they can take advantage of. And look at our world today. Who do you think they're taking advantage of? People everywhere. They don't even know it. They don't even know it. They think they're in control of their own life. And they're not. Satan has taken over the lordship of this world, and his new administration would be horribly different from the one that God had planned. Under Adam's administration, when he was obeying God, the world was beautiful. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. There was no wild animals. There was no disease or sickness. No death. Me and Junior went to South Carolina this past week. We seen at least 10 deer that had been hit and killed. At least 10 in that trip there and back. I don't know how many possums. I seen a fox that would have got killed. Death. Because Adam had sinned. There was no weeds or thorns. But now the world suddenly has changed. It's Satan has taken over. Sin brings trouble. You had any trouble lately? Sorrow? You had any sorrow lately? Been grieving any lately? Got any pain or suffering? Or death? Yeah. That's what Satan gives. Now God's going to deal with Adam about it. In Genesis 3:17, and God said to Adam, because you hearken to your wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt eat of it. Listen to this. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Why would God say that? Cursed is the ground for your sake. You know that it's through hard work and sorrow and trials that gets us finally to call on the Lord. Did you know that? Did you know your troubles has brought you to the Lord? Amen? It brought me to the Lord. It keeps me to the Lord too. Amen? Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall they eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, and dust thou art, and to dust shall you return. God deals with Adam. It's very strict and stern, very harsh. Life's going to be hard for Adam. Poor soul, he lived over 900 years like that, folks. 900 years of those harsh conditions. Look at the graveyards and the cemeteries and think of the bodies of billions of people laying in those cemeteries and graveyards. Billions of people. Why? Death. Because Adam sinned. And we're sinners. That's what happens to sinners. They die. They die. Let's look at Adam and Eve's descendants for just a moment. In John 8:44. Ye are of the, listen to this. Ye are of your father the devil, and of the lust of the father, your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Jesus was speaking to the religious people when he said, you of your father the devil. But did you know this? And I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but every one of us is a child of the devil originally. That's enough to cheer us up, isn't it? Children of the devil. Did you know every unsaved person is a child of the devil today? They wouldn't believe that, but they are. What's wrong with the world today is now explained in that passage of Scripture. Man became separated from God when his spirit died. Man's spirit died. That is, he was separated from God. If you remember over in his Ephesians chapter 2, when you're saved, you've been made alive unto God. Your spirit is made alive unto God because it was dead. So a man that's not saved, his spirit's dead to God. He cannot communicate with God. That's how you communicate with God, through your spirit. The human family became the children of the devil, separated from God and a race of sinners. In Romans 12, beginning at verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they shall receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ alone we're made alive unto God and become children of God because of what Jesus Christ has did. He's took our place and paid our debt. Because Adam is the earthly father of all humans, all of us are sinners. The whole world is a race of sinners. Today there's over 7.3 billion people in the world. All of us are sinners. A few of us are saved sinners and made children of God. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus Christ came down from heaven, came in the form of a man through the womb of a virgin, became a person just like us. There was no difference between him and us, except he had no sin. He never sinned. He was the virgin-born Son of God, and he lived a perfect life among men for 33 years and became a spotless sacrifice that could be offered on the cross. And in the plan of God and purpose of God, he took our place and paid for all of our sin. Amen. That whoever would believe in him would be saved. Look what God has did for people and how few are willing to accept it. And it's all accomplished just by believing in Him as our personal Savior. What a loving God. What a merciful Savior that would die the death He died to save us from our sin. People just don't understand. The death Jesus Christ died would be like a person in hell for eternity. And Jesus did it for every person when the wrath of God struck Him on that cross. Because as the God-man, it took the God-man to experience the wrath of God to satisfy God about our sin. That's how awful our sin is. And today, people just think nothing about sin. And it's hateful to God. And God does not accept it. In God's sight, there's no such thing as a little sin, a little white lie, not with God. Because Adam is the earth, the father, we have a race of sinners in the world. God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to pay for our sin on the cross. 1 John 3:10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Did you get that? The children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Look at the hate in the world today. My, it's rampant. Hate. Hate. Miss Evelyn just looked at me with a mask on a while ago when I got up here. She said, "You can't see my smile." I said, "No, but I could see it in her eyes. I could see her love in her eyes." You can look at people's eyes and see whether they love you or hate you. Yeah, I saw her love. Her face was hid, but I saw her eyes. Your eyes tell a lot about you. How many lost people in the world today know they're children of the devil? But they are. They are. Let's talk about man's quest for power now. Satan, he wanted power. He tried to get to God, but he failed. So he took over Adam and succeeded. Now here's man. Children of the devil, what does man want today? What is so many people trying to do today? Get more power. I want to tell you what to do. Man wars. He connives. He plots. He lies. He steals because he thinks he should be over somebody else. You think you ought to be over somebody else? God made us all alike, folks. Our Sunday school lesson today talked about people that are supposed to be servants. Our politicians, for example, are supposed to be servants. You let one get be elected and see how much of a servant he is. He becomes your boss, he thinks. You don't have nothing to say much because I got authority. Genesis 10:8, and Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be mighty in the earth. Nimrod was one of the first ones that thought he was over his fellow man back when the Tower of Babel was built. Man's a proud, arrogant, rebellious, stubborn creature, and he reasons he should tell others how to live and what to do. Yet God made every one of us just alike. Man has the same proud Lucifer had, and it's destroying him. And he does not know it. The total depravity of man is because of his kinship to Satan, the devil. The Bible continually tells us to humble ourselves. We're to walk humbly before men, among men, and before God. We ain't got a thing to brag about, folks. Everything you got, God give you. Amen. Amen. If you got more than someone else, you are more accountable to God. Did you know that? Man, too, is a fallen creature. The flesh of man is corrupt and can only be controlled by a new nature. A new nature is needed in every person. Surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what's so important. You a Christian? You say you a Christian? Then we're supposed to be growing in the Lord. And I'm talking to the preacher. We're supposed to be becoming more Christ-like, humble, loving, forgiving, caring, kind. And I hate myself at times when I see I don't have that. Listen to this statement. We love more who we serve. We love more who we serve. Are you really serving the Lord? God has a plan for every one of us, and we need to follow His plan. He made none of us alike, but we are still alike. Isn't that amazing? None of us are alike, but we're all alike. It amazes me. I've read where every snowflake is different. Can you imagine a God with a mind that great that no two snowflakes are alike? And no two people are alike, and yet you are alike. Amen? Now, He's an amazing God. And you know what? We're going to get to live with Him forever. And you won't figure Him out then either. What a God. What a God that would love a sinner like me. And our Sunday school lesson was so relevant today. How God loves those people. God's plan will give us meaning and purpose in life if we'll commit to serve Him, church. 2 Timothy 2, beginning at chapter 3, verse 2, beginning, describes today perfectly, because I believe it is today. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Boy, we see that. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Boy, we got that everywhere. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. These people that despise you because you're trying to live right. Did you know that? They don't like we go to church. If they could, they'd close this church down and padlock it. These people that are hateful today, that despise this book today, and Jesus Christ today they despise. But God said in His Word, the gates of hell won't stop the church. Most people live like the devil today. They live for themselves rather than the Lord, Jesus Christ. The quest for power, prestige, money. and influence in this life is the goal of most people today. I see the pictures on television all the time advertising the life of people relaxing at a pool, beaches, resorts, and growing old and happy in an old folks' home, and finally dying satisfied. That's what they picture on TV. That don't picture me, I tell you that. I don't want to go to an old folks' home. Amen? Well, I'll back that up and change my mind. I do. I want to go to the old folks' home up yonder. Amen? Amen? Well, you won't be old, Johnny. Amen? They're implying that life ended successful on these beautiful scenes on TV of these people with... they're just so happy at the pools and places of resource. And they're pleased with the good life. What a lie. What a lie. How many will die believing such a lie and fall into hell to spend eternity? Will they be satisfied then? God planned our life here where we are to be servants. We're to be servants while we're here. You're a Christian. You're supposed to be a servant. Miss Mary's a servant. She didn't ask for it. God gave her that job. I'll just use her as an illustration. And how faithful that job he gives you and me, we're going to be judged by it. Servants serve the Savior. You're serving the Savior when you're a servant. Servants to our fellow man is that we get the gospel to them too. We're servants in getting out the gospel. That's why we got a mission program in our church. Trying to get out the gospel. We came out here yesterday, Johnny and Brother Kirby. Trying to get out the gospel. Help people. Servants in we respect others. And their importance to God. You know what? Sinners are important to God, church. Lost sinners are important to God. I was once a lost sinner to God. And so were you. But someone, somehow, got the gospel to us. Now we got to pass it on. As servants. Wanting to do it. Amen? Wanting to do it. Loving the Savior to do it. God made none of us better than anyone else. God does bless some more than others. Sometimes, in some ways. But with those blessings comes more responsibility. Do you know that? What about that man that's got $1 million or $1 billion and he's just living to enjoy this life with all that? On Judgment Day, what's he going to look like, folks? He's going to look kind of foolish, ain't he? Huh? Most of us, we just make enough to get by. Most of us. And then we bring our tithes to the church. You know, that's the first thing on my mind and Faye's mind. I know she's the same way. Our tithes is the first thing. Took me a while to get there. But a long time ago, I figured that out. Ever since I started tithing, I had any money problems. And I've never had no money, but I've never had any money problems. That's another proof there's a God. There's a God. For unto whom so much is given, of him shall be much required. Luke 12:48. This week, Faye and I saw a couple purchase a beautiful home out in the country. It was a pretty home. Boy, I'd love to have something like that. I've always wanted something like that. Before they moved in, though, they got someone to redesign that home inside and out. New cabinets, new floors, new kitchen, enlarged rooms, and so forth. And Faye and I both sat there and watched this and cringed when we saw the walls, those beautiful walls of that home. They took a saw and threw them down. It wasn't good enough for them. Those beautiful walls, just like brand new walls, they threw them down to make what they wanted. Then they hauled it off as scrap. Thousands and tens of thousands of dollars was going to be put back into what was left of that house. That was a beautiful house. But they wanted it to look like what they wanted. And before the resigned house was, it was good enough for anyone to live in for all their life. Beautiful house. What a waste. And I see it all the time, people wasting. Wasting. They got so much money, they can just waste to get something else. I got a feeling people's going to have to give an account one day. I just got that feeling according to what this old book says. People with so much money, they use it like it's nothing, while thousands of people can't even afford a mobile home. People like this don't realize they got to give an account to God for how they got that wealth. How'd they get that wealth? How'd they get so much money? And how are they going to use that money? James 2:5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen..." Listen to this. Listen to me. Listen. You listening? "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world? Rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him." Folks, you know, I've been poor. I was raised on a tenant farm. I seen how poor my mom and daddy was. They had nothing but dirt and grass. And daddy worked hard and raised us, our family, and that was just like many other families come along in them days. We were poor people. Me and Junior back there, we had to take our lunch to school in an old sack, old paper bag. I used to take my milk in a little old pint jar from the cow I had milked. Took it to school. Man, that I can still almost smell that milk in that jar. Took turnips in a biscuit or collards or fried ash potato in a biscuit. That's the way we were raised. We were poor. But you know what? We were all happy. We were happy till we went to the cotton field. Amen. Amen. But today, you know, I live comfortable today. I'm not rich, but I am rich. I am so rich. I just can't stop praising the Lord because he chose this poor boy to hear the gospel one day. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, you better be sober and vigilant because your adversary, though, even after you're saved, he's looking for ways to take your joy. He's looking for ways to make your life a mess. He's walking about looking because he's the one that got the power when he dethroned Adam. And he don't like you, and he don't like me. And he wants to get at us so bad. And we better walk straight. And we better be careful. And we better be servants, serving the Lord. Church, you better not let your guard down. You better not let your guard down. He'll pounce on you before you know it. I'd like to close our thoughts today with this one passage. If you'll turn in the Word of God, boy, and it's a good one to turn to. Go all the way back to the book of the Revelation. Revelation. And go to chapter number 19. Because I want to close out today with this thought from God's precious Word. In Revelation 19, look down at verse 11. I want to show you one who's got all the power that's coming one of these mornings, folks. I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. That's our Savior. That's our Savior, folks. That's who he's talking about. He's the one that's got all power. Amen? Give a hearty amen. Amen? His eyes were as a flame of fire. Boy, look, think about the eyes of the Lord. When he is angry, woo. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. It was his enemy's blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Amen. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Can I use this term? That's usuns. Bible scholar says that's usuns. That's the church. We've gone to heaven. We've been judged. We've been rewarded if we earned any. And we've been married to the Lamb of God. And we've had the wedding supper probably. And now we're coming back to him at the end of the 7-year tribulation time. This is what this is talking about. At the end of the 7-year tribulation, he's coming back to take over this world. Hallelujah! And set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And we're going to rule and reign with him. Amen. Amen. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses. I'm going to have me a horse at last. Amen.
A horse I can ride.
And I won't have to feed him hay either, Brother Johnny. Amen. Amen. And I won't be the Long Ranger either. Amen. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's a coming back, folks, and I believe he's coming. First of all, he's coming into rapture, to rapture us out, to be with him. And then, while we're gone with him, for 7 years, the tribulation will be taking place in this world. And all the unsaved people will be destroyed. Every single unsaved person will be killed over those next 7 years. And if any is still living when he comes, he'll kill them then. Because he's going to set up his kingdom. And he's going to rule and reign. And he's going to have the power to do it. And you know what? The old devil, Satan, he's going to be bound in a bottomless pit. His power is nothing compared to the power of the Son of God, my Savior. Loving God, thank you for letting me preach today. Bless our folks here today, Lord. Bless your people here, Lord. Encourage, challenge, use us, Lord. Make us a blessing to others, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Remember those unable to be here because of various situations in their lives, Lord. We remember them in the mercies of God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. May God bless. Today, we invite you to the altar. I ask you to come pray for our nation. I ask you to come pray that God would have mercy and let our president be reelected.